Now, from here on, we're talking about the building up of Yerushalayim once again. And you'll forgive me if I'm not using any grand theory over what this is all about. There are whole books written on these next two chapters. I turn your attention to Parshas Toldos, where Yitzchak digs out three wells, and the Plishtim keep filling them, right? He digs out the first one, and he calls it Asek, ki hisaskuimo, they fought over it. He calls the second one Sitna, no reason given. But it looks like the word Satan, because they fought over that one too. He calls the third one Rechovot, because that one they did not fight over. And they found water supply, they were able to make a stop there. Ki atahir chiv Hashem lanu farinu va'aretz. Now we'll be able to spread out. And did we learn once what the Ramban does with this? He says, Yaricha kasuv b'minyan b'sipur ha-be'erot v'ein b'zeh shum to'eles v'shum kavod l'Yitzchak. So why does the Torah tell us this story about Yitzchak? Because Avram dug well too.
He continues what Avram was doing.
Right, but so Avram did. Why didn't he say anything when Avram did it? What's the big deal with it, what Yitzchak is doing? And when he finally finds water, it says, V'yimtzu'u mekor mayim chayim. V'yimtzu'u mekor mayim chayim. What? He said, V'yimtzu'u mayim. For goodness sakes. V'yimtzu'u mekor mayim chayim. Look at our passage, please. V'yomahu yihyeh mekor niftach lebeis David. U'liyoshven Yerushalayim l'chatas u'lenida. Now, the pasuk actually looks very cryptic, but it's really quite simple. What is chatas nida? Mei chatas u'mei nida. These are waters for paraduma and for tum, it's patara. Okay? So there will be a natural source of water that can even be used for like a mikveh. Okay? Now, what's very important is that we go back to that word makor here. Why does Ramban, how does Ramban say that Yitzchak's water was called makor mayim chayim? What might three wells, one named Asek, one named Sitna, one named Rechovot, might indicate? Three periods of Yerushalayim. Asek is the first Beis HaMikdash period of Yerushalayim, where they did nothing but fight. The second is called Sitna because that was even worse. But the Ramban says, but why doesn't it say why they called it Sitna in Bereishis? Right? Would you turn to, in your Tanakh, to Ezra Perek Dalid, Uvamalchus Achashverosh?
Oh, Uvamalchus Achashverosh, the Silas Malchusot. Chosu Sitna, I was Vey Yehudah, Yerushalayim.
Okay. Ahasuerus wrote a sitna against those who started to rebuild Yerushalayim. What is that? That's what he's finding from Sefer Nehemiah and Sefer Ezra, the permission that the Persian kings granted the Jews to rebuild Yerushalayim was rescinded. We never really got a good foothold in Tobias Sheni because of this sitna. And that's what's called sitna from the Lashon Satan, which means to thwart someone from achieving their goals. So that's why Yitzchak called it sitna, the Ramban says, anticipating this pasuk. It's amazing. The third Beis HaMikdash is Rechovot. Now, the Ramban doesn't just say this because of some fanciful desire to have three wells, three Beis HaMikdash. It's because he calls it Makor Mayim Chayim there. Okay, so let's go on. So what it means is that this water supply will be found that can be used for mechatos and may need them. What's the obvious point of this? Is that a day will come where we will once again be interested in the tahara needed for the paraduma and the mikvah. So Hayabayamahu, Pasuk Beis, Dora, would you get us moving? Okay, this is, thank God, one of our easier psukim. It's very simple. God will cut out from that place the names of the atzabim.
Atzabim. Atzabim are nerves, aren't they?
No, we say atzabim
kesef. Yeah, and you say atzabim here means idols. They're idols. And they shall not be remembered again. Here's my problem, Deborah. If we're saying that this is talking about the future of Yerushalayim, for goodness sakes, the Atzabim have been cut off a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Right? And that day that the Atzabim will be cut off. Notice he doesn't use the more common word for Avodah Zarah that you might find. Atzabim is not your most common word. But that the false prophets who spoke a spirit of impurity will also be cast out of the land. Now, here's the dilemma. Avodah Zarah and the desire for it, in the classical sense of worshipping something that you make with your hands, has it departed largely from the world? I'm not so sure.
There might be
some real hardcore Avodah Zarah going on out there. So that you should say that this happened already, you know, God says, by that day I'll get rid of all the Atzabim. We're talking about the Atzabim are gone for a long time. First of all, I'm not so sure of that. Second of all, we reserve the right, as students of the Bible, to interpret, every modern day has its own Avodah Zarah, right? It depends how firm you want to be, I guess, but you know, it could be money, it could be all sorts of other pursuits. There are different Avodah Zarahs that we make. I remember Rav Chaim Oizer said a profound thing in the yeshiva once. He said, don't make the halacha to be an Avodah Zarah. Right? Because, the boys were like trampling over each other, and forgetting about Ben Adam L'Chaver. Remember I spoke at Shal Shudas about Rav Yisrael Salanta, who was giving a Musar Shmuz, and the guys are opening each other to get to the front row to hear a Musar Shmuz. And the mom, rushing to get into the front row. Well, what are you going to a Musar Shmuz for?
We're trying to get to the Kiddush.
So there are Atzabim in every generation. Okay, Sheila, would you to help us with Pasuk in Malay? Vayaki in Avei.
Vayaki in Avei Ish Oz, Amur Elav Avivim O Yoda, Lo Tachia Ki Shefer Tibarata B'Shem Hashem, Uzakaruhu Avivu V'Imo Yoda V'Hinav
Oz. Wow. The gist of this Pasuk is, as difficult as it is to even understand the words, this false prophet will be despised by his parents, and they will do karuhu means to stab him with a sword,
pierce.
Right, to pierce him. Okay, now it was interesting, by the way, is that the Targum Shivim, the Septuagint on this pasuk, doesn't have uta karuhu, but it has usikaluhu.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Now stone him. Which is interesting because that's the correct punishment for a Navi Shekhem in the Torah. Not Hereg, but Skila. So two letters difference. The Targum reads, V'yechdun ve'avuhi. This means to pierce. But anyway, I think the gist of Pasuk Yom is really quite simple. The people who testified falsely about Yerushalayim and gave false nevuos, they'll be so despised when the truth about them comes out that even their parents will want to kill them. Wow.
It's still pleasant. Wouldn't their parents have thought, believe the same thing?
Well, they'll be so despised that even their close relatives will want to be rid of them. All right? Now, that's the real gist of it. The parents will look, I'm sure you've heard the stories in some totalitarian societies in China and in Nazi Germany, I believe. I think I've heard stories of children being told to spy on their parents. And the kids got these medals, these 8-year-old kids who are now orphans, and they got these.
Right.
So indoctrinated. So Lahavdil, you might understand how a child can do such a thing, but the parents should do it to their children, for goodness sakes. There's a pasuk can tell them, Ki avivi imi azavuni v'Hashem yasfeini. Even if my parents were to despise me and be rid of me, God is still there for me. Okay. People will be so embarrassed about the previous predictions they made, they will no longer want to wear the cloak that a Nabi often wore, that was put on a, you know, a cloak, and just to show that there's a certain garb for the Nabi. These Nabi'im will look at their earlier prophecies and earlier assertions and be ashamed of them. They'll recognize that that it was wrong.
He was one of them.
Okay. So, but Pasuk Daled is revealing because it shows that those false prophets, and I'm calling, we have, you know, the false prophets in their own day who made certain prophecies about the best system for man, and, you know, the Bush Doctrine is a type of prophecy, let's call it, you know what I'm saying? So, in these terms. So the point is that those prophecies will one day be a matter of shame for these people, and they'll no longer wear the cloak of it. All right, and this is what the person will say. The Amar, Alan.
Amar lo nabi anochi ish ove adama anochi ki adam egnani minurai.
Okay, so Rashi quotes Menachem Bar Chelbo to say that Adam Hiknani refers to Mikne. I tend sheep since my youth. Either I'm a farmer or I'm a shepherd. So what did he say? I'm not a Navi, I'm a farmer or a shepherd. Now, if you want to make some kind of symbolism about the farming and the shepherding farm, leave that aside for right now. But actually, there's a very excellent Nevuah in Tanakh that I can tell you now that might shed light on this. Okay, I take you back about 200 years to the time of Amos. Amos gave devastating prophecies in his book to the future of the 10 tribes. And one person warned him, if you keep giving such prophecies, they'll kill you. Go to the south, go to Yehuda where you came from, and give prophecy there. And you want to talk about what's going to happen to the destruction of the north? Go speak it in the south. They won't kill you there. Right? So he almost says, Lo navi anochi, lo ben navi anochi, ki boleis shikmim anochi. I think we might have discussed this before. I'm not a navi, I'm not the son of a navi. I dress sycamore trees.
How are you not saying that?
What's the point? Why did he say that? What do you have to say what he does? I don't depend on my nevuah for my living.
Oh, right.
I have a job. I'm not like those false prophets who kiss up to what the people want to hear and pick up a pigeon. Mm-hmm. Right? I tell the people what they have to hear, not what they want to hear. I remember I said just last night that the job of a Navi is, or any preacher, is to make the comfortable uncomfortable and make the uncomfortable comfortable. But not so pushy. But but if all we want to do is make everyone comfortable, right? Let me see if you were listening last night. Who was the only person in Tanakh that tries to make everyone happy?
Except for one woman.
Well, but he wasn't interested in her. But he said, "Lasos kiratzon ish va ish." He wants to make everybody happy, right? Mm-hmm. So when the Chazal rightfully call him a fool, right? So by saying lo navi anochin and saying what I do for a living, what he's trying to say is that the person who made these prophecies will swear off of them at some time in the future. Prophecies about what? About Yerushalayim. About what's going to be the best thing in the future. Alright? So it doesn't say what the prophecies were, it just says they were false. Now, there are actually two books in Tanakh that are very famous for the false prophecy. Which two? Two very, very much for the sheer size of the books. They both speak about a particular refrain called Shalom, Shalom, Ve'in Shalom. So what book is that? Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, of course. Shalom, Shalom, Ve'in Shalom. You keep saying Shalom, Shalom, and I say there's Ein Shalom. The other one is Yechezkel. Yechezkel uses the same terminology also. So I'm just saying is that whatever animated these people to make these false prophecies, they're going to swear off of it in the future. Okay. Glenn, would you take us into Pasuk Vav, a very difficult Pasuk?
Yomar, 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 Yomar reminds me of a Rebbe who used to
say. He said, you know, we say to the man who is guilty of these false prophecies, what are those makos follow? And they said, showcase the base me'ahavoy. So what's the base me'ahavoy? It's mocking. You say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. It's because I love you so much. Look, you know, Hashem says, Kasher yaser ish es b'no, Hashem alkecha mi'asreka. Do you remember that pasuk in Zohar? When a man rebukes his child, that's how I rebuke him. Okay, now what we're going to read now is going to be devastating for us, because this is as clear a prophecy of the Holocaust as you can find in the Tanakh. Now, I made some extreme statements here tonight already, but when I say it's an extreme statement, there are nevuos all over Tanakh about terrible, terrible things, especially in the Torah, the end of Devarim and the end of Vayikra, that you can apply to, you know, certain horrific events. But look what the next few seconds we talk about. It says, Cherev Uri al Ro'i Val Gever Amiti Nu Mashem Sukos. I'm calling the sword to awaken on my beloved. Smite the shepherd, scatter the sheep, right? Al hatsoarim. Targum reads al tinyonya. What? So what? Mm-hmm. So Rashi says, he quotes the Targum that it refers to Hashiltonim Hatzorim Min Hamlachim. Shiltonim means the leaders, the rulers. Okay. Not so Pashut, but he says that I will turn against them, I will call the sword on them. Pasuk Ches, v'hayobachol ha'aretz ne'um Hashem pi shnayim bo yikorsu yigva'u. Two thirds of them will die, v'ashlishi yivaser ba. One third will survive. Wow. I mean, there were 9 million Jews in the beginning of World War II. Approximately two thirds were murdered. V'hevesi es ha'shlishis ba'ish. I will take the third remaining surviving. I will take them to the fire. Tim kitzrofes akesef u'pachan tim kipchonis azahav. They will not leave unscathed. The survivors were also victims, right? They didn't have it peachy creamy. Those other 3 million, right? Who yikra bishmi v'ani enelso? He'll call my name. I will call his name. Amarti amihu v'hu yomar Hashem Elokai. I will call him my people. He will say, you are my God. Now, I must confess that we have not succeeded in putting this prophecy through. So that does that mean that it's the prophecy that I'm wrong? This is not talking about the Holocaust? Well, I only hope that this is the Holocaust, because he seems to be talking about two-thirds of Jews dying from a certain situation. I don't want that to happen, even with 3 Jews for 2/3 to die, let alone 9 million. All right, the end of this parak sounds a little like Hosea. Remember Hosea Hanavi talked about rebellious wife, the adulterous wife who had 3 children. Remember how the parak ends? One child was called Lo Ami, they're not my people. And then at the end, he says, well, when you do tshuva and you turn things around, we're going to say, Lo ami, ami ato. And you'll say, Elohai. Mamash, the same way he ends here. There's no question that Zechariah was aware of that prophecy. What's my problem is that Nebuch, the Jews did not leave the Holocaust in great masses thinking this. Okay, so that ends Perek Yud-Gimel. The upshot of the Perek is really continues into Perek Yud-Dalet. So we're not ending on a glorious note here. It's a very, very sad note about all this two-thirds cutting off. The book will end on a good note, I promise you, as all books must in the Bible.